You are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Kingston, Ontario since 1922. Find and follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up in the special community takeover of our airwaves, we're talking to Rich Hogan, board member of Transplant Advocate Association, about the organization and Be a Donor Month. There are currently over 1,700 Ontarians on the organ transplant waiting list, and thousands more waiting for tissue transplants. One organ donor can save up to 8 lives and enhance the lives of up to 75 others through tissue donation. While more than 90% of eligible Ontarians indicate that they are in favor of organ donation, only 35% are registered to be organ donors. The Transplant Advocate Association, TAA, is a regional support organization and registered charity whose mission is to help improve those outcomes throughout their region, which includes Kingston, Frontenac, Lennox and Addington, Peterborough, Lanark, and Leeds and Grenville counties. TAA members work hard year-round to create awareness about the need for organ and tissue donation and how to register to become a donor. The group works closely with the Trillium Gift of Life Network, as well as local health groups and officials, and provides support for transplant recipients and donors, their care partners, families, and friends. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and on today's special community takeover of our airwaves, I have Rich Hogan from Transplant Advocate Association. And Rich, you are not only a board member, but you have some pretty direct experience with transplants in general. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But for listeners who aren't aware, can you tell us what TAA is?
Sure. So TAA, actually, it started kind of informal with three people who had received organ transplants that kind of met. And they started to share their experiences over a coffee. And they decided to make a formal group in 2004. So at that time, the name of the group was the Ontario East Transplant Support Group. And it was a great start to the TAA. We later changed the name to TAA as it grew geographically, and it was actually becoming a little more well-known at the time. So that's how it started. And now we have a few members, you know, ranging from transplant recipients, living donors. We have a couple of living donors, caretakers, loved ones. So a range of people that have experience with transplants and the recipients.
And I mean, looking at your website and the makeup of the board, it is a lot of people that have very direct experience with transplants. Could you talk a little bit about what your mission is, what the vision is of TAA? Because it's obviously expanded, as you say, from a very small group into what it is today.
Yes. So the mission is to provide support, knowledge, and encouragement to those who are touched by organ and tissue transplantation, and to inform the public about the need and benefits to others of organ and tissue transplantation. So many times we look at numbers and stats, and they don't really hit home until you start to meet the people who are in need. Right now in Ontario, there's 1,700 people waiting on a transplant. Many of them are kidney and liver in need of transplant. In some cases, a living donor can actually help those people in need, and they can live regular, normal lives. A kidney donor, if they have a kidney removed, their other kidney actually can grow in size to compensate for the loss of the other kidney. So it puts a lot less stress on that one kidney. I myself lost a kidney as well during my journey, and so my one kidney is compensating for that loss. A liver donor can actually donate about 60% maximum, I think, of their liver, and it will regenerate. It's the only organ that will actually regenerate in the body. So again, after some recovery, after surgery, they can return to normal lives. And we've seen that. We have examples of that in our group. And it's such a wonderful gift to be able to do that, living donors and those who are registered donors as well.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I know that you talk about with this group is not only the immediate effect of a transplant in saving someone's life, but the improvement that it can have in their quality of life in a long-term way.
Absolutely. Many people can return to their regular lives, resume full-time employment, that sort of thing. Some other recipients, you know, receiving a liver or a kidney can resume relatively normal lives. When you get into some of the recipients, like myself, I had a heart transplant. I also had some other underlying issues that fell into place. So I'm not able to work in a full-time capacity, but I put my time towards the volunteering with this group and bringing awareness. Mm-hmm. There's also people who have double lung transplants that sometimes have a little more complications may seek a little more attention from more appointments and that sort of thing, but they can try to return to work as well, and some are successful doing that.
So you mentioned your own journey, and you are the name and face of the campaign or the newsletters that are coming out for this year's campaign. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about how you got involved with TAA and what it's meant, and why you continue to be involved with it.
Yeah, I'm honored to be this year's face of the campaign, if you will. You know, there's a few people in the group that are great advocates as well that would be good for this, and hopefully they get the opportunity next year. My journey with TNA starts with my transplant. So it's a bit of a story, a lot of moving parts, but I'll keep it short and sweet. I have the opportunity to actually know some information about my donor, which is rare because the legislation in Ontario prevents you from knowing details about your donors, likewise about recipients. Through a private Facebook group, I found my donor's mother. And my donor's name was Katie. She was 27 years old. She had just graduated university. She was working in family courts doing conflict resolution. She started to feel ill, and this was during that wonderful time everyone loves called COVID. So in 2020. So she went for some COVID tests, did not have COVID. Over the course of some weeks, I believe, she continued to have the issues, having shortness of breath and so on. And her final text to her mother was that she was having issues breathing. And her mother said, you should check with the doctor and go. And at that time, she had a pulmonary embolism, which is a blood clot in the lungs. So it wasn't detected during her visits to the doctor. So Katie had actually passed on October 17th. She was in a coma for a couple of days, but they kept her organs viable. She actually was not a registered donor. However, the lovely thing was she did talk to her family about that thing openly. She would donate blood regularly, and she was hoping to get her driver's license, and her intention was to become a donor at that time. So because she had spoke to her family about it, she was able to save three lives. So I received a heart. A young lady in Ottawa received the lungs. She was 27 years old. And another lady in her 60s, I'm not sure the details, received a liver. She also donated her skin. So Katie, who was from the Scarborough area, saved three lives and countless people affected with the skin donation. You can help up to 75 people with that alone. In the meantime, I had a heart attack, the Widowmaker, which is exactly what it says. I was lucky to survive that. I had that on Christmas Eve, 2018. So throughout the next 18 months, I was riddled with different illnesses and whatnot. A couple of notable ones, rheumatoid arthritis became present in my body, which is inflammatory to your joints and so on. So there was a lot of those markers within my body, which made, you know, diagnosis of things and treatment difficult sometimes. I also had an umbilical hernia. Now that may not seem relevant to a heart transplant, but it became constricted at one time, and I was in the emergency room. And when they did the x-ray of that, they found a spot on my kidney. So this was not detected before. Long story short, they found a massive tumor on my kidney, which was cancer. So my kidney had to be removed, which was in December of 2019. What some people don't know is that organ transplant recipients have to wait 5 years be cancer-free before they can receive an organ. So I was on the radar for a transplant in the future, but there was no real talk openly to myself. The next few months, I started to get congestive heart failure, which, you know, the strength of your heart starts to weaken. Your heart is normally 50 to 70% ejection fraction, the strength of your heart. After the heart attack, I was at 33%, so about half. As the year progressed, I was down to 24%. I started to get the congestive heart failure, and nearing September of 2020, the last I heard, it was around 15%. So I wasn't doing well, and my future was bleak. At that time, they talked about an LVAD, which is an artificial heart pump, and that's a bridge to transplant. So that heart pump, I was told, would, you know, keep me going for about 5 years, maybe longer, but in order to get me free of cancer before I could receive or be eligible for a heart transplant. Over the next month and a half, I was rushed to the Ottawa Heart Institute where I had the transplant. And because my ejection fraction was so low, my health was depleting, one kidney, rheumatoid arthritis, so on and so forth, all these building factors. They gave me with the choice of either doing the LVAD and risking death because of my weakened heart or going straight to transplant list. I chose to go to a transplant list. I took the chance. I know it could have been months before I would receive a heart, but I just had a feeling at the time. So I was listed on October 17th, which is the same day that Katie passed away. 2 days later, I received her heart, which is incredible. It gets me a little emotional. It was incredible. There were so many things that worked out as a match for her and I to be partners in this journey. So that's why I advocate, because I want to honor Katie, her mother, who is a strong advocate in the Scarborough area. She actually speaks at some schools and that sort of thing to advocate for donor and tissue donation. So
there's some interesting information about donation in that it's easier and easier to get on the donor list, but there's still so many people that aren't. And your family still has a say, I believe, even if you are on a donor list. I think it is important to share stories like this to show the impact. And also in the face of a tragedy, the loss of Katie's life, that there's something that came out of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We often, when we have a table at events and we talk about that sort of thing, about telling your family, because even though if you are a registered donor, your family could say no to that. You know, say you have a brother or sister you haven't talked to in 3 or 4 years and they're your next of kin. They may not know your wishes. So it's really important to do that.
And there's good information, I know, through your website and then through, I think it's Trillium as well, you know, how to register and also what kind of concerns there are, like what you might want to think about. And I also know you can choose what you are comfortable giving. Like, it's not an all or nothing thing. If there are things that you're not comfortable with or you feel like your family might not be comfortable with.
I spent some time last week going through the Trillium Gift of Life website and also beadonor.ca, which is where you can register to be a donor. You just need to have your health card, a valid Ontario health card, and your birth date and agree to be a donor. And they give you a selection of organs and tissue that you could donate. And of course, some people, you know, may not be apt to donate one part of the body over the other. And regardless of your health as well, you could be a donor. So, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I would think, okay, my organs are probably not, you know, viable for a donor, but my heart, believe it or not, that I received while Katie was being resuscitated had 2 cardiac arrests. And I'm a successful. I've been living with the donated heart for 5.5 years now. She donated her lungs. I mean, she had a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot in the lungs. So there are things in the medical world that they're able to revive and resuscitate to make them viable again. And when you get into the tissue and you're talking about some of the tissue that's, you know, your skin, your eyes, parts of your eyes, it's not your whole eye, actually. It's the retina and it's the white part of your eye that, you know, helps with maybe scarring from surgeries and that sort of thing. Your ligaments, your bones, and even the valves in your heart can be donated and are usually used for young infants to help them with heart problems. So it's an amazing site. There's a lot of information, you know, some of those questions that people may have about life after, you know, if someone has gone through the process of having their organs donated or their skin and whatnot, can you have like an open casket? Can you go on with that celebration of life? And the answer is yes. I mean, right now I'm fully clothed, but you wouldn't know that I have 14 scars, right? The same idea is that, you know, if someone's going through that process, the burial and so on, and the visitation, they're in a suit, they're in a dress, and they're taken care of respectfully. And that's the important thing, is that this whole process is done with respect and dignity.
Yeah, I mean, it's asking hard questions at a very hard time.
Exactly.
Which, again, makes it so important to have those conversations ahead of time. And you've referenced Be a Donor. This is April. This is Be a Donor Month. So I know it's a very busy time for you. April 7th is a big event at City Hall here in Kingston and in Napanee with a ceremony and a declaration. But the whole month long, I know that your group is campaigning. And I wonder if you want to talk about some of the other activities, some of the outreach, and the information that you're trying to get out there.
Sure. Just briefly, I know it's the day day after April 7th, but April 7th is dedicated to Logan Boulé, who was one of the hockey players that was killed in the Humboldt Broncos bus crash in 2018. So Logan told his wishes to his parents, and he donated organs and saved six lives. So because of that, April 7th is the day after the bus crash. That was the largest single campaign for people to sign up to become registered donors. And to this day, there's about 150,000 people that have donated because of that movement. So it's known as the Logan Boulé effect. Mm-hmm. So hopefully people got out to see the city hall be lit up green and have the flag raised and so on. We do it in Napanee, and we also have declarations in Smith Falls and Brockville as well as Kingston, Napanee. So we do presentations for private groups so we could talk about what organ donation is and talk about the truths and the myths and help educate people on that, help them understand the process to become a donor. So many times we'll have ourselves, you know, present for the presentation that have some experience with TAA and have experience with being a donor themselves or being a caregiver or a recipient. So it's an exciting time for us to be able to talk about it, because it's not a dinner time conversation, really. Right. It's one of those conversations you just have in passing. And you know, our goal sometimes is to help find others who are going through the process and may not know about TAA and may not know about the supports we can give. So we can give some financial supports if they have to travel for appointments. Many times people go to Toronto for lung, heart, kidney, liver. I went to Ottawa for the Heart Institute because of the travel would have been less stressful on myself. Mm-hmm. I'm the only driver in the family at the time. So I did have my brother help me a couple of times because I just wasn't able to drive. But
yeah. Well, I'm sure that's not day surgery.
No. Yeah. Well, there's many things when you're working up, when you know, the illnesses, the shortness of breath, there's tests that you have to go through. Some seem very invasive, but through our experiences, we can talk to those people going through the process and explain, you know, hey, a right heart catheter where they may take a biopsy of your heart or check the pressure isn't as invasive as you would think, right? It's, right. You know, the worst part of it for me was the freezing. Mm-hmm. So that sort of thing, to be able to talk to them and say, hey, I've been there, I've done that. And for caregivers to say, hey, this is the sort of thing to watch for. These are what we did to help. I mean, there's so many things about trying to make sure you're on a low sodium diet or keeping your fluids up, especially after transplant, because you're on anti-rejection medication. There's lots of things that could happen, and that medication can be harmful to the body. So I had an experience with that, with dehydration. And it damaged my one kidney a little, but I'm doing fine. It's doing fine, but it's something you just have to be aware of. So, and that's the sort of education we can help with. If they need to travel, like I was saying, going to Ottawa after the transplant, I stayed for a month. So I had to stay in a hotel there, or residence in for a month. Financially, it was a little tough, but we managed to get some help financially. But it wasn't through TAA. We had no idea about TAA at that time. And also, I had to travel back and forth after I left Ottawa for 8 weeks. Once a week, I had to go and do blood work, because specific blood work for the anti-rejection meds wouldn't be completed in time in Kingston. Mm. So they need same-day results. So in Kingston, if I did it, it would be week later that they would get the results. So things like that, you know, we're happy to help. And raising awareness, we also have our table. Like I said, yesterday we're actually at St. Lawrence College, which I used to work there for many years. And it was great to see some old friends. But we had a lot of students coming up, nursing students in particular, that came up and learning so much and sharing their experiences and what they're learning in the labs and that sort of thing. So it's such a great experience. It wasn't about pushing people to sign up to be a donor at the time. Of course, we're encouraging that. We want that, right? We want to be able to spread that message. But even to educate and have them think about that, we had a couple say, you know, I would like to go and talk to my family about that before I make that commitment. And that's great. That's their prerogative. And that's what we want to also have them do, is speak with their family. We met a young man from Turkey yesterday that shared a story about organ donation in his country. And it's an opt-out system. So they're automatically organ donors. Where here in Ontario, it's an opt-in. Mm-hmm. So they would have many more options. But one of the false statements that we hear about organ donation is that if you're sick, that the doctors won't help you survive, right? I firsthand can tell you that that's not true. I was given the best care possible to keep me going until transplant, until I could be saved. Unfortunately, in his country, they would just send you home. I'm sure it's just a stress on their hospital systems. I'm not sure. I'm not from there and don't want to speak ill of that. But he was surprised at that. And he actually, after a few minutes of sitting with his friends, came back and asked for one of the cards for be a donor. So he was looking to become a donor in Canada, so in Ontario, which is fantastic. So that's the sort of thing our outreach is looking for, is to help out. We're going to be at the Princess Street Promenade. We'll do wellness fairs. There's a wellness fair May 6th at the Slush Pub Place. So we've been invited to attend that as well. So we have a couple of speaker engagements at a couple of private groups, but we're open to do it for the public. And, you know, through this, we're hoping that, you know, if anyone's interested in having a health fair or something like that, we'd like us to come by and talk at it. Or even people in medical studies at Queen's, at St. Lawrence College, are interested in having us come in and speak to their class. And we'll tell you exactly the truth. We're not going to sugarcoat our experiences because it's a learning experience. And I, for the most part, had a lot of wonderful experiences. I did have a couple of very bad experiences, but to share that is educational, right? And, you know, spreading the word and letting people know about the Transplant Advocate Association is our purpose, and Be a Donor Month is our way of helping increase those numbers.
I should ask if you can share some of the contact information if people are listening and either are interested in Be a Donor Month, interested in your services, or are interested in reaching out to you to have you come in and talk and show the humans behind the information.
Absolutely. We do have a website, the transplantadvocateassociation.ca. It's very simple to find. It has our contact info. We also have an email, which is info@transplantadvocateassociation.ca. That's actually how I reached out and found the group. There's a phone number, 613-817-7799. We have a Facebook group as well. Just look for TAA or Transplant Advocate Association. Right now, our feeds are just riddled with Be a Donor Month from other cities raising, you know, flags and that sort of thing. So you might see some of the activity online right now. But I will say we have other campaigns going on the back of a couple of city buses. We have some advertising for the TAA and Be a Donor Month. We have, I believe, 4 billboards that have some nice photos of 6 of us on there, as well as the information about Be a Donor. Plus there's news releases and opportunities like this that we've been advocating and sending our message and showing how we can reach out to everyone.
If people are listening and they've already signed up on Be a Donor, they've talked to their family, but they want to do more. You did mention that TAA does offer some financial assistance to individuals. I imagine that funds to support that are welcome. Are there ways people can donate? Are you looking for volunteers?
Some of the money that we do have are donated funds. And we also raise money through things through OLG. So volunteering at charity bingo and that sort of thing. So that's how we get our funds. So they're always welcome. Of course, we can use it, you know, towards people needing assistance. Among other things, our awareness campaigns, you know, a lot of the funds go towards that. And we also donate money to hospital. So last year we donated $10,000 to one of the departments in the hospital, and we'll be doing that again this year. So at one of the choices that our committee decided on. So that will be announced later. Also, if someone wanted to volunteer, I would suggest contacting us and finding out when we have events coming up and seeing if they can attend at the table and learn a lot from ourselves and listening and stopping people and saying, hey, do you want to learn more? We have a gift card we usually give out, have people stop by, and we ask them a question, true or false, and, you know, they're entered to win a gift card. I mean, it's a way to attract people. But it also gets them to stop, and we can talk to them during that. And oftentimes the question we ask initiates more conversation. So they're not difficult. If you get it wrong, we're not going to kick you. You still have a chance to win. So that's a great way. Being involved in the classrooms as well, we talked about that, that volunteering directly with our group in the form of being at these events. And we'd be welcome to have some new people come in and mm-hmm. spend time with us.
I didn't ask, I mean, you've talked about sort of Eastern Ontario. What is the catchment area for TAA?
For our group, it's Brockville, Smith Falls, Napanee, Kingston, okay. in that area. There are other organizations that are east and west, which is great. West of us, there's Belleville, Cobourg, et cetera, et cetera.
I think there's definitely an advantage to having a smaller catchment area, because then the information, I imagine, that you're giving, the advice that you're giving, is what people might experience here. You know which hospitals people are going to be going to or might be sent to, and you can share resources that are within the community.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that smaller catchment area, if we have events, it's less travel time as well. So, right. you know, we would love to have people from the larger areas, but people may not be open to driving an hour and a half, 2 hours to come to a monthly meeting. So we do have monthly meetings. We'll have like an annual barbecue or Christmas party, that sort of thing, and other events in between that we, you know, decide on. But our monthly meetings are a great time for these members to come in, and that driving distance makes a difference.
Oh, so, absolutely, yeah. Especially if you're in recovery or certain times of year even. yeah. We're not out of the woods with weather yet, unfortunately. No. Thank you so much. I want to ask before we wrap up if there's anything else you want to add. I mean, I think your website is very helpful. The events are very clearly laid out if people want to see what you're up to.
Again, you can find us online at transplantadvocateassociation.ca. Our email is info@transplantadvocateassociation.ca. And if you go to the website, you'll find our contact info as well. We're also very active on the Facebook page. You can find us under the same name or TAA. Right now it's very active. There's a lot of activity going on. I would like to add, we do get asked often about the registration. So people have said, oh, well, when I had my license, I had a paper card and I signed that. So that's not viable anymore. You actually have to go online. One way to check at home, if you'd like, is to check the back of your health card. It will actually say about halfway through on the right side if you are a donor or not. If you're not a donor, you can go to Service Ontario. You can go to beadonor.ca. You can even, during filing your taxes, there's an option now to become a donor, which is new. It's relatively new. So I was excited to hear that. So those are ways to become a donor. And I personally would like to thank everyone that's signed up to be a donor in the past, in the present, in the future, and helping save lives like myself and my friends in the TAA group. And I encourage anyone who's going through the process that's, you know, unsure of what to do and maybe not finding exactly the help from maybe loved ones who may not experience and know what to say or know, you know, what's going on, to reach out to us. You don't have to become a member. We can just simply talk to you and help you along the process. So we'll do everything we can. We're here to promote that. So.
Well, thank you so much again, Rich. Again, that was Transplant Advocate Association. This is Be a Donor Month for April. So yes, kind of lines up nicely with taxes. If you haven't filed your taxes yet, which are due at the end of the month, maybe a good time to take a look at that form. Check your health card if you want to register and you haven't done so yet. So thank you so much again, and it
thank
was a
you.
Pleasure talking
thanks
to you.
For having me.
Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves yourself. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. Apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This project is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.